So what really happened this week?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I mentioned the other day that I would share with you my thoughts about what occurred on Tuesday this week. Because of the recording schedule and some other things going on in the background, there was absolutely no way to do it on Wednesday. The Wednesday program had to be produced in advance. Just so you're aware, I've got some medical things going on. They're going to take some attention. And so there's no way I could do the program after the election for today. Just couldn't be done. But I've had a little time to think. I will admit that my wife and I, we stayed up late. And I kind of looked at some of the networks, see what they were saying. Newsmax was the first to make the call hours ahead of anybody else for the state of Pennsylvania. And it was a pretty, I think, logical call when you know how many votes are out and the numbers just don't work where you can pull from behind. Even if you cheated 100% of the ballots, it couldn't happen. So they made the right call. And so here we are. Donald Trump is the 47th president of the United States. Maybe the 48th, and I'll explain why I think that could happen. It may not happen, but it is the possibility. I've got a number of thoughts in my mind. I know a lot of conservative people, friends of mine, people that I've known for years, they're ecstatic. They're happy. They're pleasantly surprised that this didn't drag out for days and weeks like it was kind of promised to be. I mean, the state of Pennsylvania said this could take days. Well, the numbers just weren't there, so it was done that night. Don't take this win as we're going to fix everything in America. Don't take this win that we have solved all of America's problems and it's going to be great, holy, wonderful, and just great forevermore for our kids and grandkids. It'll be an eternal fight until Jesus comes. If you think for 1 minute that the powers of hell, literally, are going to just quietly walk away and fade into the sunset, you're deceived. There is a deep state, there is an apparatus that is going to do everything in their power to thwart anything going forward. The one thing that is clearly obvious, and it's a good thing, I might add, that came out of this election. Several things have been reinforced to me, and I'll be sharing some stories in a couple of minutes. I still believe 2020 was an irregular election, and I think there was some funny business. I really do. I really believe there was funny business in 2020. Bellwether counties that had always predicted the outcome had gone in Trump's favor in 2020, but somehow he didn't win. And then you're looking, and I think one of the greatest surprises of the night was over at CNN. Jake Tapper, what a guy, you know, he got the shock of his life when somebody pointed out that Kamala Harris underperformed Joe Biden in every county in the United States. She didn't outdo him in one county, thousands of counties. How could that be? How could she not do better? I mean, she's got all the stuff going for diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, she should have racked up a few more, you know, constituencies. Why did it fail? One of the thing, all the noise made after 2020, all the noise made it more difficult this time to play any games. There was no pandemic to hide behind. There was no cardboard and paper going up on windows to block reporters and poll workers' viewing of how the ballots were being counted. there were no overflowing floods or in buildings, which is really nothing but a stuck urinal that was not even overflowing, like it was in Fulton County, Georgia. There were no mystery boxes coming in the back door at 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning. In other words, it was harder this time because of visibility to do things that had been done before. Getting rid of Ronna McDaniels from leading all this Republican leadership opened the door to bringing in people that were proactive and prepared. In other words, they weren't going to just lay down and just take whatever they're told. They were going to be proactive with lawyers and people watching and observing. It was too difficult. It was too difficult to try to manipulate this election. So what did you get? You had Donald Trump winning both the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. That's simple. Now, what does this mean going forward? It means we're going to be in for a rough ride. Between now, I just think that the powers that be are not happy with this outcome. And they're going to let it be known. To me, one of the greatest clips of the evening is when Rachel Maddow, over at Mind Syphilis NBC, she was their host for the evening, and I'm sure that when she sat down behind that big, you know, studio set with all the commentators to discuss the election, she was totally convinced that Kamala Harris was going to be crowned the queen. Had no doubt in her mind. I looked over at MSNBC a few times. They took their sweet time in announcing anything positive for Trump. They just couldn't bring themselves to do it. But as the evening wore on, you could see the smiles were beginning to give way, and there was a look of concern on people's faces. And then, hours after Newsmax had made the announcement, Rachel Maddow was finally able to break down and give you the news.
NBC News has a projection to make in the presidential contest in the swing state of Pennsylvania. NBC News now projects that that presidential contest has been won by Donald Trump. Now, I believe that means that we are at a 266 electoral vote count for Donald Trump. Kamala Harris at 194 electoral votes. So to be clear here, this is the third of the seven major swing states that have been called. But Georgia and North Carolina and Pennsylvania, as those three states, presents an almost insurmountable future here for Kamala Harris and for the Democratic ticket.
Oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me. I can see that far away look in your eyes.
So allow me to share my thoughts real quick on where we are, where we're heading, and where I think we're ultimately going to be. Plus, I'm going to be giving you some caution, some things to be careful about and not to be overly exuberant. Once again, if you think that the Democrat Party is going to go down at gracefully, maybe on the surface, but under the surface, no. They'll be plotting how to destroy the presidency for the next 4 years. And how to get the House and Senate and everything back in, you know, basically 2026. It's going to be business as usual on many fronts. The good news is it's harder now because of all the eyes that are looking and the attention being paid to pull off some, shall we say, clever stunts like we're done back in 2020. I feel very vindicated in much of what I said about the state of Georgia. where all these little counties had like 100 or more people, little counties of like, you know, 15, 20,000, 100 people show up in the county saying, we're new residents, we want to vote. And they get their absentee ballots and then they vanish. And the addresses they gave were farm fields, places where there were no homes, houses, trailers, or tents, nothing. This happened all over the state. And as I've said before, when you have a state with 159 counties like Georgia does, granted, there's some like Fulton with millions of people, but many like Burke County, Franklin County, I can name dozens of them, with less than 20,000. 100 votes in each county that doesn't belong there is 15,900. And Trump lost in 2020 the state of Georgia by 11,000 votes. I really think Fulton County had ballots that did not belong, but there was no way to know which ones did or didn't. These Zuckerberg drop boxes, I think, were problematic. People showing up at 3, 3:15 in the morning, holding up dozens, if not hundreds, of ballots, taking pictures of them and putting them in the machine, wearing their face diaper and their hoodie and disappearing so they would not be identified. And the only thing we know is that they were going to Democrat headquarters somewhere in town and coming back and dumping in more. So there was irregularities. And people that say that there wasn't are lying to themselves. Where do things stand? It's going to be interesting. You still have 2 days before Thanksgiving. Trump is supposed to be sentenced by Judge Michonne in New York on that bogus case of having a check stub misnamed. That's really what it boils down to. If you want to understand the case in Judge Michonne's court, he is charged with 34 counts, felony counts. And it's just the number of times that a check stub was mislabeled. It's really one case. And it actually happened after he was inaugurated president in 2017. So what is the big crime that he was found guilty on 34 counts? When he was in the Oval Office, I might add. You remember his sleazy lawyer? You remember him, Michael Cohen, who's in jail? Michael Cohen invoiced the Trump Organization for legal services on his letterhead, wanting payment. And so what did the finance department of the Trump Organization do with a bill from a lawyer? On the check stub, they wrote legal expense and mailed him a check. Oh, no, but this is hush money. Hush money, by the way, is not illegal. This is the entire case that Alvin Braggadocious bought against Trump. It is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. No case like this has ever been bought, except against Trump. It's like the one for the buildings, you know, the appraisal of the buildings, where he had to pay a $400-some-odd million fine to a total buffoon moron who ought to have his law, who needs his law license burned. I mean, publicly burned. And the law school that he went to should be admonished for ever giving this moron a degree. You know, mugging for the cameras and all that. And what was the crime? And this is, and one of the things that MSNBC and CNN, they don't talk about. That case is already beginning to work its way through the appellate court in New York. And I can tell you from what happened weeks ago there, it don't look good for the state. The questions were being asked, okay, so who was harmed? Well, nobody but the people. Well, how? Well, they were hurt. Well, explain. Well, we can't. Have you ever brought a case like this before? Well, no. Why? Well, we just haven't. But why here? Well, it's Trump. He can't be the president. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing. Look, let's say you own a house. And I'm just going to make up numbers here. And you think my house is worth $250,000. A guy that wants to come and buy your house thinks it's worth $225,000. But somebody wants to borrow around $200,000. The bank is going to do its due diligence to see if it's worth enough to cover the $200,000. The difference in opinion on the price is irrelevant. It's not illegal. But this is what that other idiot judge was trying to come up with. Well, you know, he overappraised the value of the property and he's cheating. The same banks that supposedly, they were not injured. They made it clear, we'd love to do business with Mr. Trump. He paid everything on time. In some cases, early. We like doing business with a good pay client that you don't have to chase after. Good risk. Nobody was hurt. Two entities did business with each other. Nobody broke the law. And nobody took advantage or robbed or stole or anything. But they want to fine him $500 million. And then he got the lunatic woman that said that Trump raped me in this really fancy department store dressing room. Now, the department store made it very clear it would have been impossible for that to happen. That could not have happened. The department store says no, no, and no. And then this crazy woman says, and this is the dress and shoes that I were wearing when it happened. Well, they did. Those dress and shoes didn't even come on the market till years later. It's all made up. It's all a lie. And for that, he had to pay out mega millions of dollars. And then you get the people at Mind Syphilis NBC implying, oh, he's a convicted rapist. No, he's not. They never went there because there was no evidence. And they knew better. They knew they better not touch that one. But anything they could do in the state of New York under Letitia James, who's a despicable human being, New York State's going to be paying a very large price in the days and months ahead. Well, they're already paying a price. They have Kathy Hochul as a governor. I think that's punishment enough because, you know, what was it? Who said it? God gives wicked leaders to wicked people. And New York is going to be paying a price for a long time to come. People are fleeing that state. They've lost congressional seats. They can sit there with their lunatic left paradise all they want until they run out of money to pay for it and people to support it. And people to do the upkeep on the roads and keep the lights turned on, they're going to hurt themselves. It's coming. Here in the state of Virginia, now we live in the southwestern part of the state, where I can assure you, in no uncertain terms, it is a very conservative area. And when you look at the actual numbers that came out, yeah, sure, Virginia went for Kamala Harris. And which was to be expected. But it wasn't some huge blowout margin. That margin in the state of Virginia is getting closer and closer. It's not as blue as it used to be. Oh, sure, Richmond. Yeah, it's blue. The immediate area around Washington, D.C., Alexandria, that area where all the government workers live and Newport News, that area. Yeah, those little strongholds and where the university is in Charlottesville. Those are your little blue areas. The rest of the state is conservative. But because of the large number of federal employees that are living in Northern Virginia, it flips the state toward blue. But the state is becoming increasingly purple. When Kathy Hochul told everybody that's a conservative, yeah, get out of here, go to Florida. They listened, they did. Look at Florida now. Back in 2016, Florida was considered a battleground state. No more. It isn't. It's like South Carolina now, pretty dependable. North Carolina, in spite of the storms, stayed with Trump. Even though many voters had a hard time getting to the polls, they were determined. West Virginia has now coughed up a Republican senator to the Senate. And so Manchin is gone. I mean, there's going to be a change on the landscape. But once again, I warn you, do not think that the left is going to go down without a fight. I don't know how these legal cases are going to play out. I listened the other day to Judge Napolitano talking about Fannie Willis down there in Georgia. She may not be able to go after the president, but she may continue to go after the rest on the RICO charge. I think that case will ultimately fall apart at the state level and disappear. New York, those cases could unravel even at the state appellate court. And Jack Smith, he's going to be out of a job when there's a new attorney general. And understand that with a new attorney general, you could have them tell the courts, we're dismissing charges. Thank you. Have a good life. We're done. But it doesn't mean that we can let our guard down. And this is my concern. So I want to just pause here and remind you of something that I have been saying emphatically for a long, 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 long time. Do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. That's what the psalmist says. Don't rest your life on politicians. When I voted for the candidates on my ballot that would pose the least threat to my faith, my family, my future, my freedom, my finances. Those five major items. That was my core. As a Christian, that's what I vote on. I'm not trying to vote for some Christian nationalism. I'm not voting for the head pastor of a church. I am voting to do the best that I can for my community and my family and my faith. And people that didn't vote, that sat it out, you know, if more had sat it out, thankfully they didn't. Right now, you could be waking up to Kamala Harris being the president-elect. So I will come out and say this one guy that debated with me, and I wanted to get him to debate on the radio, but he wouldn't do it. He's some kind of a street preacher who claims that now that he's saved, he never sins anymore. He's a non-sinner. He doesn't sin. He's sinless. And for that reason, he can't vote, because voting is a sin. And his whole logic, you know, because he's so perfect and pure. And I'm all evil and terrible because I even talk about this stuff. And he brags about not voting. And I said, you are literally, you are an accessory to murder. And he goes, what do you mean? Well, allowing your vote not to stop a murderess or an accessory to murder like Kamala Harris, well, you are just an accessory. Sitting it out is what a coward does. You're lazy. You're a coward. You're a reprobate. You're not doing anything. You're salt and light according to the Bible, but apparently you didn't read that verse or you don't even know what it means. But you're a self-righteous, smuggy kind of person that doesn't sin, so I don't vote. That's the kind of stuff that I have to put up with sometimes. Donald Trump will be a great interrupter. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, if he wins, because once again, you know, let's be honest, despite all the best efforts, the red wave did happen. And I really think that the intelligence industrial complex's thoughts of how they were going to make this work just failed because there were too many eyes on them. Only Grover Cleveland, as I recall, was the only other president to win two non-consecutive terms. But I believe that he really was elected three times, and the one in 2020 was taken away. All the stuff that we heard about, you know, climate change, safe and effective vaccines, Trump is Hitler. And somehow Biden got 81 million votes by campaigning from his basement. None of it is believable to me. But we've become used to being called garbage, deplorables, if you're conservative. And still, sadly, when you look at certain states and places, when people would talk about why they voted for a certain candidate, you'd see a lot of these women with just weird looks in their eyes. It's all about reproductive rights. Everything else is meaningless. It's just reproductive rights. That's all. we want to kill our babies. And if we can't kill our babies, we don't care about the economy at all. We don't care about the economy. We don't care about the future. We don't care about inflation. We don't care about people being murdered by illegal immigrants coming across the border, criminals that have been released from prisons in other countries. We don't worry about any of that. We just worry about killing babies. And that's what it came down to for a significant millions of women voters, millions of them. Which tells me that the United States still has a huge spiritual problem. And until that problem is ever dealt with, we have no real future. All we get are periods of possible respite, like I said before. People that had enough of some of the bad stuff and enough people voted, enough people came out early, enough people couldn't be thwarted. And though this way Trump wins. That's how it worked. You know, even idiots tried to say things that were not true. Van Jones, you remember him? He's a leftist buffoon. He actually said, "Don't believe your lying eyes and ears. The Democrats never called Trump Hitler. That was Republicans." No, what? What was that thing that Kamala Harris did at a press conference that lasted about 2 minutes in front of the vice presidential residence, where he talked about Donald Trump and generals and Hitler and, you know, so that didn't happen, apparently, according to Van Jones. See, they're not going to, they can't tell the truth. It's not in them. Nothing can be funnier than Democrats calling Trump a racist for 10 years and losing because black men voted for Trump, which he did more with black male voters than any other Republican in history. And NBC, they had to wait and wait and wait till it was just too late. Everything too close to call, too close to call. And this time around, it was not as easy to do the stuff that they did. And I think the telling tale of that night was the big party planned in D.C. at Howard University. You know, her big come out and declare victory at her alma mater with all her friends who had no place to sit. They all had to stand for 6, 7, 8 hours. She abandoned her own supporters the same way she and Biden abandoned Americans in Afghanistan. She didn't have enough class to come out and say, "Look, we don't know where things stand." She couldn't spare the time to come out. She was ready to. She could have come out and said, "We don't know yet. Go home, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow." No, she sent somebody else out to do it. She's just as classless as Hillary Clinton was in 2016. Hillary would not talk to her supporters that had gathered at the Javits Center in New York. She couldn't bother to come out and say a word. She's too good. She's a queen. And Kamala, just as classless, couldn't come to talk to her supporters. Had to send a surrogate out to take care of that for her, because she's too good to mess with common people. That's how she really thought about her supporters. It's all about her and the power she thought she could wield. Now, I'm running a little late on the break, but I'm going to share this one thought. Kamala Harris is a very opportunist individual. She's not the sharpest tack in the box, but she's smart enough to know how to play the political game. It was obvious in 2023 that Joe Biden would not be able to survive a campaign and another 4 years. It was going to fail. And so they'd already been shopping, if you hadn't noticed, people like Gavin Newsom and others to, you know, float around the country and you know, just kind of try, you know, some trial balloons. But nowhere on the radar screen was ever a Kamala Harris. They didn't want her. Not at all. She was just a diversity hire for the election of 2020. And she was a failure at everything she's ever done for the administration. She was the butt of jokes and just a buffoon. But she was in a unique position. The only way to put Biden out was to use the 25th Amendment, which would require her to participate. And somebody got to her and pointed out, you know, you're in the driver's seat. They want to get rid of old Joe. And they made sure they had that early debate. Remember that back in June? And how bad Biden performed? And even CNN did their job. They were told to destroy that man, and they did. I'll give them credit. CNN obeyed their masters and destroyed Joe Biden. But they couldn't put anybody else on the ticket except Kamala Harris, because she now, the ball was in her court and she wanted it. And so there was a delay in everybody endorsing her, but there she went. And I really believe that Joe Biden could care less. I think he and his family are so fed up with the whole system. They shoved him out, put her in, and then she failed to deliver. And she had a pretty poorly run campaign. All she had was abortion. Listen, I've got some other stories and other things that I want to share on the other side. And when I get back from this break, we're going to talk about where things really are going. If you're putting your hope in, yeah, Trump's going to be president now, he's going to get a good cabinet, everyone's going to be great, it's going to be wonderful, and well, yeah, things will get better for a season. But they could also explode in your face sooner than you think. I told you we might be getting a respite. And as Christians, we better use this time wisely. God is going to hold you and I accountable for how we use the time we are given. If you believe in what we're doing, would you let me know that you're listening? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Or you can write me at Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Galilean Messiah. Coming up. Shalom Alechem. This is Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift in a moment. You're going to love it. Messiah in Galilee. It doesn't sound Jewish. Galilee doesn't sound Jewish. Growing up, Galilee didn't seem like a Jewish place. It didn't even seem like a real place. Not Jewish. I didn't know of any Jewish person who hung out in Galilee. You know, so the idea of this Galilean just didn't seem right. And yet, in the hidden writings of the rabbis, an amazing thing. This is in a rabbinic writing. It says, the light will shoot up between heaven and earth and rest in the land of Galilee. For there was the beginning of Israel's exile, and there Messiah will reveal himself in that light. And he will return to his place. And then the whole world will see that King Messiah revealed himself in the land of Galilee. Wow. Whoa. Saying the Jewish Messiah is going to reveal himself in the land of Galilee to the whole world. Amazing. That's exactly where Yeshua, Jesus, revealed himself. And why did the rabbi say that? It's going to be Galilee because Galilee was the place that was first judged by God. So it's the first place that he will comfort. How beautiful. Why did Messiah come to Galilee first? Well, Galilee was the land of the broken, the land of judgments. The grace of God came there first. Always remember that. When you think of Messiah on the Sea of Galilee, on its shores, remember the people that were broken there. And so God wants to bless the broken. So when you mess up, when you feel completely unworthy, when you feel as if you can't even approach God, you want to walk the other way and hide, don't walk and just run to him. He's the Messiah of Galilee, the one whose heart is for the fallen and the broken. Run to him. You're going to find the blessings of his love and his grace and his healing and his miracles in the arms of the Galilean Messiah. Want more? Ask for The Days of Messiah on CD. Now, the free gift for you, The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. And Sapphires with the Riches of Your Jewish Roots in Jesus, Special Teachings, Updates on Israel, World Events, and Prophecy, The Secrets of Strength and Victory for Every Day of Your Life. How do you get all these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. To receive your free gift, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, Y-E-S-H-U-A, and the number 1. I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and the unreached peoples around the world. You want to make a difference? This is the farthest way you can ever make a difference. It's amazing. Shortwave radio, you can do it. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A-1. You can write me direct. Here's the direct address. It's right to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip 07644. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, New Jersey, and it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in the name of Messiah, Mashiach min Galil, the Messiah of Galilee.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of this Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. Finally getting an opportunity to share my thoughts about the election this week. As I mentioned earlier, the recording schedule and some health issues that are going on in the background made it impossible for me to even address it at all yesterday. I mean, on Wednesday. Just couldn't be done. But I did some reading and I did some observing. And one of the things that stood out is the difference between the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. Now, there's a reason I want to point this out. Several reasons, actually. Number one, the New York Times is still what they are, the New York Slimes. Their headline, Trump storms back, stunning return to power after dark and defiant campaign. The pariah, felon president-elect, how Trump fought his way back. His win opens an era of uncertainty for the nation. You know, all negative, negative, negative all the time. You know, I'm looking at this whole front page. Another story, America hires a strong man. I mean, it's typical New York Times living in their little bubble world of trans, homophobia, homosexuality, weirdness, all of it. Abortion, all they've got is abortion and trans and weirdness. And so anything outside of that little bubble world that they live in and free stuff, they just get angry. With political victory, Trump fights off legal charges. I mean, it just on and on. It's all negative coverage. And like, how in the world could America do something so stupid to put that man back in the White House? The New York Times, as far as I am concerned, is become an irrelevant newspaper. The New York Daily News, totally irrelevant newspaper. Even the Wall Street Journal is gone a little bit too wokish for me. Newspapers that decades ago I used to admire and read, I don't think they're fit for birdcage liner. And the New York Times just continues on in their little bubble world. And as long as the rich people in Manhattan can keep buying subscriptions, I guess they're going to stick around for a while. Even though that their circulation and readership has been on a constant and never-ending decline. Now, on the other hand, the difference on the front page of the Washington Post, which until not long ago was just like the New York Times. You know, any chance they could get after Trump, they did. But I think Jeff Bezos, who bought the loser of a newspaper, I mean, it's a bankrupt newspaper he overpaid for, but he wanted to have a voice in D.C., Bezo, I think, read the tea leaves, and he could detect there's a shift coming, and he would be directly in the firing line on multiple fronts. Number one, who is one of Donald Trump's new best friends? Elon Musk. Elon Musk deals with, well, internet technology called Starlink, satellites in space. Elon Musk can send rocket ships to save where NASA can't with his own rocket firm. And Jeff Bezos has been trying to get his Blue Origin stuff off the ground. Jeff Bezos has Amazon. Now, I want you to think. If Trump won, and he's thinking this when he was doing the endorse, said no endorsement, and a lot of his editorial staff quit. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Yeah, I just called him garbage. Yeah, I did. I really did. Jeff Bezos is a businessman, too. A lot of the goods and services he sells to you on Amazon comes from China. And a lot of tariffs on Chinese goods could hurt his bottom line immensely. Especially if Americans don't want to ship through him or sell through him. And that could be a problem. Plus, he liked to get some of those space contracts and satellite contracts and internet contracts like Elon Musk. And so the smartest thing Jeff Bezos could do was to muzzle the morons in the editorial department at the Washington Compost and not endorse anybody. And so when you read the headline, instead of like the gloom and doom New York Times, the stories are, Trump achieved an Electoral College majority by maintaining his majorities with men and voters with white without college degrees, while also overperforming with historic Democrat constituencies like Latinos and young voters, according to the preliminary exit polls. In other words, they just kind of talked about how it got done. And the picture of Donald Trump, instead of like the one of the Times where it's scowling, Trump and his wife and his staff coming out on for their election party in the wee hours of the morning. I remember watching that the other night. They wrote, he returns as the 47th president, and it basically riding a wave of voter dissatisfaction. In other words, it was not a gloom and doom story. I think Jeff Bezos knows which side his bread is buttered. And if his newspaper kept going after Trump, especially with an unneeded endorsement, it could be costly down the road. Because see, a lot of these people that have been beating up on Trump, lying about him too, I might add. Yeah, let's be honest. A lot of the stuff that came out of the media over the past year has been debunked and lies. Calling the Charlottesville bad people nice people. I mean, that has all been debunked. All these misquotes, what Kamala Harris did, but they keep holding on to the lie. You know, even Joe Biden said, it's because of what he said in Charlottesville is why I ran for president. No, you didn't do that. You were just wanting to be president. You've been wanting to be president since the 1980s. This was your last shot, and you went for it. Even your buddy, Obama, said, don't do it, Joe. He did it anyway, and they pushed him over the finish line. Don't get complacent. I don't want everybody saying, oh, we can sit back and relax now. Everything's going to get better. Gas prices are going to go down. Interest rates are going to come down. The schools are going to be better. Our kids are going to be smarter and better looking. Don't get into this mindset. All of it, like politics has been in this country for 248 years, is all temporary. We had the Reagan years. What followed? Yeah. George H. Herbert Walker Bush, the CIA guy, followed by Bill Clinton, followed by Bush the Jr., who gave us the Patriot Act, followed by Barack Obama. Think about that for a moment. Leftist and rhinos after Reagan. That's all we had. Then came Trump, the interrupter, the bull in the china shop. And the deep state rebelled. In other words, you got to remember that under George, the deep state has been entrenching itself since the Second World War, if not before. Well before, probably. Starting way back during the Woodrow Wilson administration. Getting deeper and more powerful and more entrenched as the decades went by. And a lot of these three-letter agencies, like the CIA, the FBI, all of these agencies, there needs to be a thorough house cleaning. The top floors of those places need to fire those that have abused their power. The Department of Justice comes to mind as one of the first. So does the FBI. Funny, we can't seem to find people that, you know, that are murderers and rapists, but we'll chase after little old ladies and raid their house in the wee hours of the morning with long guns out for some lady in their 70s or 80s that happened to protest at an abortion clinic. That's the only thing the FBI really gives a damn about. Protecting baby slaughter. They don't care about anything else. They become destroyed by politics. So Christopher Wray's got to go day one. Absolutely. Those in charge of the CIA need to lose their ability. I mean, they need to lose their security clearance. The 51 that signed the phony document about the Hunter Biden laptop need all of them to be investigated. This is not a witch hunt. We know what they did. It was obvious. It's time now to pay the piper. Because guess what? If we don't deal with this cancer now, if we don't deal with this vermin that is destroying our nation from within and robbing you blind, inflation is robbing you blind because of government spending. And how do they pay for it? The prices of everything go up and the money you have in your pocket becomes worth less. That's how they're financing this. The bureaucrats, many of the three-letter agencies need to be dismantled. Department of Education has never educated a child, and ever since its inception, if you look at the history, once the Department of Education as its own department was established, was the beginning of the decline of education in America. Prior to that, it had been going up every year. Once they got involved, it went downhill, and it's been sliding ever since. There needs to be a house cleaning. And I hope that we get time. I hope we get our freedoms back. I hope government agencies stop telling Facebook what to censor, or X, or Twitter, well, the old Twitter, Instagram, or any other website. I hope the idea of disinformation boards and anything that would challenge your First Amendment right are stopped in their tracks before they even get started. And I'll go one step farther. I think it's time that we look carefully about repealing the Johnson Amendment of 1954 that muzzled pastors and preachers from speaking out against sin in the world of politics. And I don't want to hear this silliness, oh, separation of church and state. Up until 1954, from basically the beginning of this nation, pastors, rabbis, priests, whatever, were free to discuss things going on in our country from a biblical perspective and call it out for what it is. Back in the day, a pastor could say, you know, Kamala Harris believes in infanticide. They could say that from the pulpit because of what her belief is on abortion, and that she should be excommunicated by the church because of what she believes, because it's in contradiction to Scripture. You can't do that now. You've been muzzled because of Lyndon Baines Johnson, another American destroyer that did more damage to this country than I care to discuss. We need to shrink the size of government, get it out of our lives, dismantle many of these useless and duplicative agencies, return power to the states where it belongs constitutionally. That'll buy us some time. Then we need some pastors with backbone that call sin for what it is, and point out church bodies that have gone apostate, church bodies that now don't believe in what the Bible has faithfully taught for thousands of years. There is no new revelation in the Episcopal Church that gay marriage is what God really wanted. There's no revelation in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the United Methodist Church, or any of them that allow them to say we can celebrate sin now instead of calling it out. In the Revolutionary War, there were a lot of very, very articulate pastors, well-versed in Scripture and understood the politics of the day. And they preached from their pulpits what they saw without shame and without fear. Well, they did fear the Brits, the British. They were called the Black Robe Regiment. Pastors that pretty much pointed out what is right and what is wrong. And people followed. We need another Black Robe Regiment of pastors that have backbone, that stand up for what's right and condemn what is wrong, that are not afraid to tell a politician to their face where God would say what you're doing is not acceptable, and let their congregations know accordingly so they're not deceived into voting for these reprobates that pretend to be something that they're not. I mean, look at the senator from Georgia, Raphael, Warnock. Phony fake pastor, woke as can be, and defies Scripture. Yeah, he's a pastor. He's an Antichrist agent. I'm calling it for the way it needs to be called. And because of the things that were allowed dubiously back in 2020, he became a senator from the state of Georgia, along with another Democrat, because of the irregularities. And Governor Kemp and Raffensperger let it happen. But funny, in 2022, they got everything fixed so those two guys could win their reelection. Yeah, isn't that weird how that happened? They didn't have a chance to put it back again. And so that's why Trump won Georgia, because it was actually a fair election in that state where it hadn't been. The next 2 months are going to be very tumultuous. The world is going to have to adapt to the reality of a Trump presidency. I pray the Secret Service has put a guard around him to protect him, his life, and his family's life. I have to wonder what Joe Biden will do between now and the end of this year, maybe Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, maybe before he leaves office. How many pardons will he hand out? I mean, he doesn't need the January 6 people anymore. He might as well pardon all of them. They were just pawns for an election. You know, January 6 insurrection. And you don't have the Senate now to deal with, to get rid of the idea of Trump being certified. It's going to be too difficult. Time will tell as all the final numbers shake out over the next day or two. Now, I'm going to change gears here for just a moment. I need your prayers. If you tell, I'm a bit breathless. And about a month ago, I got sick, and I seemed to recuperate, had a really bad cough, very deep cough, and it hasn't fully disappeared, and it's caused my heart rate to get really rapid, and we're dealing with it the best that we know how, the best that we can. I was in the hospital for a couple of days, as you probably know, and I'm following up tomorrow, today, and again next week, taking medications. There are times that I do fine, and there are times that I'm just out of breath doing nothing. But it's not a heart issue. You know, all that stuff and the EKG look fine. Everything's good except the speed of the heart rate, and they're trying to figure out why is that happening? And one doctor thinks it could be walking pneumonia. And so we're trying to treat with antibiotics and see what happens. This could be a nasty one to get out. But it does wear me out. And honestly, if I had a co-host, I'd be taking a week or two off. After 4 years, I really need to. When I started this program over 4 years ago, my goal was to get you through the pandemic and bring you the truth about its origins and the lies being told. The lies that were being told starting in literally March of 2020. And that fraud, Fauci and everybody else and the folks over at the CDC and the protocols. I wanted to warn you about that. And we've told you about it. And here's the truth. What we told you was true. Things that I was told were lies, it got me kicked off platforms, ended up being the truth. Funny how that worked out. I also warned you 4 years ago that I had a bad feeling about the election, that it was not in the bag. Trump's re-election was not secure at all. And many people actually criticized me that I had to be stupid. Look at the rallies. You know, Biden gets five people standing in big circles. He's in his basement. And look what happened. Trump lost. The deep state really wanted to win. And they forced the win. I'm at a point, and I've been mentioning this. I'm getting tired of talking politics. I really am. I'm getting tired of talking about certain stories. Been doing it for over 4 years. And I felt that if I could get us through the pandemic, the lies, and get past this election, if I'm to continue to do a radio program, it needs to be preparing the church for a future that is to come. And it could come sooner than you think. I've prayed for this respite, this period of time. You know, evil takes 2, 3, 5 steps forward. We sometimes get 1 or 2 back. Right now, we may have gotten 3 back. And we better use this time wisely for the kingdom of God. We will be held accountable if we do not. And so you don't need me duplicating what's out there on every other radio station or radio network, or talk show or podcast. If I'm to continue doing anything, it needs to be to empower, to teach, and prepare. You don't need another person saying the same things. You don't need somebody else selling prepper food, silver and gold, or any other nonsense. You need God's Word. If you believe in what we're doing, let me know. Visit our website, truth2ponder.com. We'll get that address again in a moment. Or you can write me at Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. We'll see you again tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.